Hi, this is Ryan Spanger. About 12 years ago, I started a video production company in Melbourne, Australia called Dream Engine. Making videos is a huge passion for me. And in this podcast, I'll be sharing with you a lot of the ideas and techniques that I use in my video production business. I hope you enjoy the show and that it gives you clear, actionable ideas that you can implement in your business right now to improve your web video marketing and build a stronger connection with your audience. Welcome to the Web Video Marketing Show, and today I've got Aaron Thomas on the show. Now, Aaron is an online media strategist, executive producer, teacher, and founder and CEO of Your World Productions, also known as the Teleprompter Kings. And Aaron has helped thousands of presenters to confidently deliver their message using teleprompters, or autocue as we call it here in Australia. And these presenters include corporate executives, heads of state, well-known celebrities, entrepreneurs, and politicians. And also, Aaron recently hit 3 Amazon bestseller lists with his book, Teleprompter Bible, 10 Techniques to Teleprompter Mastery for Corporate and Online Video Production. So we're definitely in the company of teleprompter royalty here. This guy is like the Einstein of the autocue. So if you make videos, if you present in front of camera or on stage, if you do face-to-camera videos, or if you're helping people present better in front of camera, then keep listening. Aaron, good to have you on the Web Video Marketing Show.
Thanks for having me, Ryan. I appreciate it.
Well, I've told the listeners a little bit about you and your background. Can you tell us a bit more about what you do? You're based in New Jersey. Tell us a little bit more about yourself.
Okay. Well, I started a video production company back in 2003. And I really only started it because I've always been an entrepreneur at heart. And my wife has studied radio and film production in college. And so I thought, well, you know, let's use that knowledge that you have and let's start a business. Because I had it on my website that, you know, that we had a teleprompter. And my only goal was to be able to find companies that wanted video production and also wanted to use a teleprompter. Smaller producers started to call, and then large producers started to call me and say, hey, you know, you have a teleprompter, and well, we can, you know, do you rent that out? I'm like, yeah, I rent out the service. And then I began to get a few more prompters, and then a few more after that. And so now I've really transitioned my company from being primarily a corporate video production company to being a company that primarily provides teleprompter services.
Cool. So I know that you've worked with some quite high profile people, with, you know, some heads of states and celebrities and something like that. So I've got to ask if there's any stories that you can share with us, any kind of fun anecdotes of, you know, maybe some famous people that we might know.
Okay. Well, I was hired to prompt for someone in Manhattan, New York, Upper West Side. And, you know, so I was there and, you know, we were all prepping up and, you know, set up the gear and things like that. And I'm just really into the job. And so they gave me the script. So I load up the script into the teleprompter. And then they said, okay, you know what? Instead of having one person there as a talent, we want to have 2 people here. So it was a husband and wife. They said, okay, you know, so the wife's going to have some lines and the husband will have some of the other lines. I said, okay, all right. So then they said, I said, all right. So they said, okay, so use an S or a T. So the letter S or a T. So use an S for him and use a T for her. So I'm like, okay, well, who's S and who's T? And then they said, okay, well, T is for Trudy, that's his wife, and S is for Sting. So I was prompting for the artist Sting, and I was so into what I was doing, I didn't realize, hey, right in front of me here is Sting, and I'm at his house. I'm at Sting's house prompting, you know, so that was really cool. And then I was able to get a picture with them afterwards, but I was like, oh, cool. My goodness.
That's funny. Yeah. And you only realize it at that moment.
Yes. Yeah. So that, it was kind of hysterical, really. But Sting was actually very, very cool. But, you know, I would say virtually every high profile person I work with has been cool. It's only been maybe 1, 2, or 3 that have not been, but most of the celebrities are really, really nice to work with.
Oh, that's awesome. That's good to hear. So we're not dishing any dirt here, but yeah, I like that that Sting story. That's very cool. Now, in my video production business, we use teleprompters or auto cues quite a lot. We use them for our clients to make their life easier because they're often CEOs or people working in the business. They're not trained actors. Their skill is not in remembering lines. And so to be able to give them a teleprompter just makes their life so much easier. I use a lot in the videos that I make as well. So I'm sold already. But for the audience listening to this, maybe some people haven't used it before. It might be people making videos or starting to make their own videos. Help them to understand why this is a cool topic, because this is not, you know, this is not motion graphics. It's not immediately obvious why this is cool. But when you get into it, it can really transform your videos. So give us a bit of the elevator pitch about why people need to listen up and what's exciting about this.
Well, you know, I'm a huge proponent of teleprompters, and that's why I have transitioned my business. And I tell you, what I've seen the huge difference is that back before I was using teleprompters, and let's say, for instance, you had this corporate talking head and the person delivered the message, I'd say it was a nightmare at times trying to cut it all together because, well, you know, they kind of said it right here, but then over here they said this, and just trying to get them to say the whole entire statement that they needed to say, and I'm using this, I'm chopping this up and chopping that up, it was just nightmares. And having a teleprompter there where that executive can see his or her speech, that just makes it so much easier for them to deliver their message. Now, having the auto cue doesn't mean that there won't be multiple takes, because you usually do want to have takes, and sometimes they still might mess up even though the words are there. But it's a huge difference between the delivery, and then by having it, you can just save yourself so much post-production work and trying to get everything together. That was the first thing that I saw. And then, you know, even for myself, you know, I've done some things where I've delivered some messages on camera, and even though I've had a teleprompter, it's been times where I thought, oh, you know what, I can just wing this, and it's just difficult. And it's something about when the record light comes on that sometimes you freeze up, or you just don't say things just the right way, or you forget a particular line, and having that auto cue there just makes it so much easier to deliver it. I mean, it's like the difference between night and day. And not only that though, but I would say that especially if you're going to provide services for a client, then I think you should have a professional teleprompter operator. I think it makes a huge difference between having a professional there or just even having like one of your guys. Like sometimes, I just got off the phone with a potential client who says, yeah, you know, we're thinking about getting one and having one of our guys do it. And I said, you know what? That is your cheapest option. I mean, if you're looking at cutting costs, because he said that he had a project that was multiple days, it'll last for weeks and stuff like that. I said, well, you definitely will be, the more affordable option is to have one of your guys to do it. I said, but that won't be the most effective option, especially, you know, starting off, because what is that there's a skill to it. There's a skill to be able to have it, to have the system there, to be able to adjust to the speed of the talent. Also to be able to make some recommendations, because sometimes, and I may be getting a little ahead because you didn't necessarily.
Yeah, well, you know what, let's come to that, because I definitely want to talk about the difference between a professional operator versus do-it-yourself versus, you know, buying your own little iPad prompter. But, you know, maybe before we even get to that, some people might not have ever even seen a teleprompter or worked with one before. So can you just briefly explain to people what it is and how it works?
Okay. Yeah. So what it is basically is, if you think about a cue card, you know, usually, you know, if you think about having like a 3x5 index card and you have your words there, you have your things there. So basically that's a prompt, but that is a written prompt. And so now you have electronic words, so you can look right at a screen. So basically what you have is that you have a laptop. So the laptop is sending a signal, just like and anything else. So sending a signal to a monitor. And from that monitor, it's being reflected on a piece of glass. And it's a two-sided glass. So kind of think about like in a police precinct, to where you can see through one side, but the other side can't see you. So that's how the teleprompter operates. So the glass is that the talent can see the words being reflected off of the monitor, but it also allows the camera, which is on the other side, the camera can see the talent, but the talent cannot see the camera. So basically what is that the word scroll from the bottom to the top, and that allows you to be able to read. So, and it can be adjusted. So if you're during certain portions of anything in which you're speaking, some portions you're going to speak faster than other times, or you may want to use inflection. And in using inflection, you're going to adjust your speed. So when you do that, then the prompter can be adjusted as well. So it's a great experience because the words are just right there. And in some cases, you may want to have 8 lines of your text there. It could be 6 lines, or it could be 12 lines. So that all can be adjusted. The size of the fonts can be adjusted. The colors of the fonts. It's just a great experience to be able to look right in to the to the camera. And that's a great thing too, is that you're making direct contact, eye contact with the camera, even though you can't see the camera, because all you can see is just your words.
Cool. Well, I've had situations where I've worked with clients and they're very competent, very smart. They've got in front of audiences a lot and they've come in quite confidently saying that they're going to wing it, they're going to memorize it. And as soon as the camera goes on and they're sitting there in front of the lights, they feel the pressure and they freeze up and they're actually really surprised. You know, they can't even work out why they're struggling with it. But you're right, it is tough to get in front of the camera and present. And when we've set up the auto cue for them, it's just made their life so much easier. But the biggest challenge that I find is in helping them to present naturally, because it often just looks like they're reading. So to me, this is the number one challenge, is how can I help my clients and how can I present in a much more natural way? So it's actually difficult for people to tell if I'm reading or if I'm just speaking naturally.
Yeah, and I think the key for that is to practice the speech. And that's something that most people don't want to do, because they feel like, well, the words are going to be there, so why do I need to practice? And by practicing the speech, rehearsing it, going over it a few times, and really internalizing it, it will really help you to being able to deliver that message. And yes, I see the same thing. I see it to where, you know, sometimes I'll have it may be the admin assistant of this executive or the executive assistant will call up and says, hey, yes, you know, we want to have this video shot of Jim, you know, and Jim's a great speaker, so he doesn't need a teleprompter. And I usually beg that assistant to allow us to bring a teleprompter there, because I'm like, and I explained that, hey, I've seen this a lot to where people who are very good extemporaneous speakers, when they get in front of the camera, sometimes they're a totally different person, and having that teleprompter there will definitely help them out. And so, but by actually being familiar with your speech and practicing it, rehearsing it, and even rehearsing it in the mirror. I mean, if you really, really want to nail it, that is really a good way to being able to deliver that message and to look very natural. You know, sometimes what can happen too is that your eyes can kind of shift around. And one of the things that you want to do is that you want to have the camera back a little bit further if you can see your eyes shifting a lot. And then you can also adjust the fonts. Maybe you need a little bit larger font, or in some cases, maybe a smaller font. So these are some things that can be used. These are some techniques that can actually help you to be able to look into that camera, deliver that message, because you already know it. So really the prompter is just helping you to remember your lines.
Well, that's a really good point, that just because you're using a prompter doesn't mean that you shouldn't rehearse. And maybe sometimes there's a temptation, because you know you've got that prompter, that you don't really look at the stuff as much as you should. The other thing that I'm thinking about is one of the other giveaways of it not looking natural is that it's too perfect. And do you think in a way it's worth, like if you listen to the way that we speak, we sometimes stumble over a word, we might repeat a word a second time like I did there, we might pause while we're trying to think of another word, so it's actually not smooth. You can almost hear my thought process as I'm speaking. Do you think it's worth injecting some of that into your presenting, so actively making it not perfect, so it's actually looking more natural?
I think in some cases it's very good to do that, but I do think also it might depend on the presenter and the message. So in some cases, let's say for instance, if you have, like, for instance, a company who has to rehabilitate their image because of something major or some major news story, something that came out, whatever, then they might want to look really crisp and to, or in some cases, maybe they might want to have those imperfections, but it might be something where it may be very important for them to nail it, to just look very professional, very straightforward, and to nail it. But I think that it's very good to have conversational language. And I think sometimes the language is too formal, and our script should be the way that we speak versus written language or written text. Because, for instance, you know, we're not writing a textbook. We're speaking to people. So instead of saying Ryan has not any whatever.
Yeah.
You know, so you can say Ryan doesn't have, or Ryan, you know, yeah. You can use contractions and things like that. So basically you can, by speaking conversationally, then I think that allows you to be able to connect better with the audience. And also, as you said, it doesn't look so perfect. It doesn't look so polished. It doesn't look so, it doesn't look artificial.
Yeah.
Because you are speaking conversationally.
It's a really good point. Sometimes a client will send me a script, which will look great on paper or on the screen, but when you read it out, the sentences are too long, the words are too big, it doesn't flow, they're using words that they wouldn't speak. And sometimes I find it helps that during the course of presenting, we'll actually edit as we go. Like we'll pause and say, no, that just didn't sound natural. Let's change a word here, let's shorten that sentence. Do you think there's a value in actually adjusting and editing the script as you go sometimes?
It is definitely a value in adjusting the script. In fact, that is part of the process. Sometimes people feel like, oh yeah, I mean, it's been a lot of times when people have said to me, Aaron, I'm sorry that we're making these changes. I'm like, no, this is the process. You know, revisions is part of the process, because even with that, sometimes it could be a sequence of words that just doesn't flow right. You know, and so by having making those revisions, changing the words around, that can really help you to deliver that message, deliver your message well. You know, one of the things too, and this is just with any time that you're on camera, is that you want to be grounded and not move around and not, like, for instance, like being, you know, in chairs where you can like swivel around and things like that. So, I mean, those type of things that we already know as producers, you know, we have to make sure that, yeah, you know, this is a teleprompter session, but all of the fundamentals still do apply, you know, towards that, you know, when you're there with your talent.
Most definitely. So one of the other things that I've found has helped is that in the actual teleprompter program on the computer, I've made the margins quite thin. So in the past, when I first started, I would use up a lot of the screen with the text, and you'd sometimes see people's eyes moving from left to right. So you could sort of see that they were reading. And now I really just use up only the middle part of the screen, and you're not seeing that eye movement now, which can kind of look a little bit shifty. Have you noticed that?
Yep. And that is one technique that we use a lot, is to bring in the margins. You know, when we see a lot of eye movement, because that definitely can cause the eye movement to be reduced, because it's less real estate that your eyes have to view. And that helps out a lot. So you definitely want to bring in the margins if you see that. And or in the combination of bringing in the margins, and also when possible, or if possible, bring the camera back a little bit. That also can help out too, because now when you're further away, then now your eyes can scan the screen, which is, I'm sorry, scan the mirror, which is the reflection of the monitor, which is your words there. So the combination of both of those can actually help you to deliver your message without your eyes shifting a lot.
Absolutely. So, you know, there's a lot of different kinds of teleprompters. There's your service, where you offer this fully professional service with the best equipment. There may sometimes be situations where someone is making some short face-to-camera videos from home, you know, with a camcorder. I know that you would recommend people using a professional service where possible, but I'd say there's, you know, maybe times where doing something yourself can work just as well. So let's talk about the range of different types of prompters that are out there, because there's a lot of, I guess, exciting new technology with things like iPads. Tell us about the range of equipment, the pluses and the minuses of the sort of low-end stuff versus what you use.
Okay. Well, the thing with the iPad is that The iPad teleprompter, by the way, they are very fast. It's a very fast growing segment of teleprompter use. It's becoming very popular. I have problems with using an iPad on professional, meaning that, for instance, if I'm paid, if I'm the paid producer of a shoot, I don't like them as much, although I do feel like they're better than not having any at all. I'll tell you why I don't like them as much is because they're harder to control the pace. Now, you have manual controllers, you have wired controllers that you can use to help control the pace of the scrolling of the text. And I would definitely recommend, if you are going to use one, to have a wired controller. Now, in many cases, you can also control it from another iOS device. And that part, I don't like as much, only because there could always be other radio interference. Again, having it is better than not having it at all. Meaning that if this is your your option is either having like an iPad teleprompter or, you know, using another tablet teleprompter or not having one at all, then you definitely should have one there. But one of the problems I have is actually controlling the pace of it, because usually what happens is that someone pretty much just uses a general pace, a general scrolling speed, and it's not veritable because, again, we don't speak at the same pace. Because if we do, then it's kind of monotone and you're talking the same way all the time. So I definitely do recommend, if you're going to do it, then there are smaller systems that are they're called camera mounted teleprompters. There are ones that you can use with your DSLR. I like those better because those are set up to be controlled from a laptop. Also, you actually could use a tablet too to control them. I like those better. I just like those much better. I really do. I just feel like that you have more control over what's going on. So you have the range from using your iPad as a monitor to using, you know, to having smaller monitors that are there and they're being controlled by laptops. Or again, you can also use a tablet. You can use your you can use an iOS device, and I'm sure that you can probably use Android devices as well to control the pace. Basically, the higher you get up, then one of the things that you actually are getting is that usually you would get some software with it. The software can make a difference. No, I'm sorry. The software can make a huge difference depending on what you're doing. And so there are just various applications. There are various things you can do as far as with text. There are things that you can do as far as quick shortcuts, because sometimes you may have a project where it's just so much text that has to be read. And so you want to be quick and you want to be able to make changes quickly. And so the better software you have, then that will allow you to do that. Also, the higher up the system, then sometimes the more configurations you can use that same system for. So, you know, I'm very fortunate in the systems that we have, we can configure them several different ways to go in front of cameras, so that if you have a DSLR or if you're using an Alexa, then we can use the same system in both because we can configure them differently. It's kind of like a transformer where you can set them up differently. And so it's very modular. And I like those because it gives you a lot more options when you're there on the set. And then I would just say that generally speaking, I like larger screens, meaning I love 17-inch screens, 17-inch prompter systems. But again, I do know that sometimes budget has a lot to do with it. So I would say probably a minimum of a 10-inch system is what I really like, unless you're going to do something just for yourself. Then maybe you can go down to an 8-inch system if you're just going to have it for yourself.
Well, it sounds like your advice is, if you're just getting started and you're working from home, you're just starting to make some videos for your website and you don't have the budget, then better to use some entry-level prompter like an iPad rather than nothing at all. But you're going to get much more of an advantage using a professional system with a professional operator. What do you think about, is it possible to actually run a teleprompter and actually run it yourself? Or is it better to have an operator?
I'm always a big proponent of having an operator. Well, let's put it this way. If we're going to shoot talent and we're going to have a prompter, 100% of the time, always have two different people, because it's just hard to have it's impossible to have your attention on both at the same time. Because what happens is that, let's say, for instance, even if it's a lockdown shot and the camera's not going to move, what usually happens is that the talent doesn't stay in one position, so that they might start leaning to the left or leaning to the right, and now all of a sudden they're not framed up the way they really should be. But you don't know that because you're operating the teleprompter. Now, if you're doing it for yourself and you're shooting yourself, you're shooting video of yourself, I should say, then I think that it's good to be able to do that, and you can just use your mouse or if you just want to practice using an iPad teleprompter and just kind of set one general speed and then just, you know, and it just working it out that way, that's fine. You know, I just wouldn't want to have a lot of like, for instance, I wouldn't want to go like 10 minutes that way because you're probably going to mess yourself up. But maybe if you had like 1 or 2 minute or maybe even 3 minute maximum sessions, then I think like an iPad teleprompter can work out great.
Yeah, so there's a danger in trying to cover too much. Now let's talk about your book, which you've done really well with on Amazon. What are the things that people have really responded to in your book? What sort of feedback are you getting? What are the areas that people are saying are most interesting and useful?
Well, I think the most interesting and useful one that people have found is just the preparation for the teleprompter session. Because sometimes people think that you should not, or you don't need to prep for it, to get ready for it. And just having very straightforward language to say, hey, here's some things that you need to consider before you have the session. Even things like get to know the teleprompter operator, you know, just simple things like that, because that person really is, you know, for a few moments, you know, they kind of control your destiny a little bit, you know. So the friendlier you are with them, and that rapport that you build, really is the rapport. It will help your session using the teleprompter to go better.
That makes a lot of sense. I mean, I've worked with a good prompter operator is not only good at turning up and setting up the equipment and running it, but actually connecting with the person on camera and even giving suggestions, but not going beyond their position, but just gently, you know, making suggestions and recommendations, helping people to relax in front of camera. Is that something, I imagine that's something that you must do a lot in your business, is actually not just doing the technical prompting, but actually helping people to present better.
Yes, and the psychology side of it, it's a big part of it. And that sometimes what I'll do is that when I, and again, it depending on if it's appropriate, especially if I'm not the producer, you know, I may whisper to the talent to say, hey, you know what, the words are going to be there. Everything's going to be there when you need it. If you speed up, I'm going to speed up. If you slow down, I'm going to slow down. So I'm always going to be there for you. Okay. You know, so even saying something like that can really help them out. Cause sometimes I'll see in their faces the anxiety that, okay, is what I'm going to say going to be there when I need it? I see that anxiety building up in them, and I'm like, hey, don't worry about it. I got you right here. We're going to be okay. You know, and then they're like, okay, thanks a lot, Aaron. You know, so having that really does help out. And then, as you said, being able to sometimes even kind of like whisper a little bit to the producer. Sometimes I'll even say to the producer, hey, did you see a lot of eye movement? And if he says yes, then I'm like, okay, you know, I can make this bigger, I can do this, or I can bring the margins in, like you mentioned. And then sometimes it's like, yeah, you know what, Aaron, let's try that out. So it's things like that, just because what way I say is that, you know, the teleprompter operator is part of the crew, and their job is to make the producer look good and to make the talent look good.
Awesome. Any other tips to help people relax and present better in front of camera?
I would just say, as far as just on, you know, I cannot stress enough as far as being familiar with the information, and that goes for everybody. I mean, it goes for that CEO that, you know, someone else wrote the script for it, and it goes for us too. You know, if we're going to create content videos for our businesses, just becoming familiar with it. And also too, if there are words that are a little bit more difficult to pronounce, then you can phonetically spell them, because the only person going to know that is just, you know, just you and the talent. Or if you are the talent, you're the only one that's going to know it. So, you know, if it's difficult to pronounce a word, just do that. Or, you know, I'll say two more things. One is that sometimes you might want to break down the paragraphs. So I would have short paragraphs, maybe just 2-3 sentences maximum in some of the paragraphs, especially if they're long sentences. Just break that up, because that really does help you to be able to read better and present better with the teleprompter. But also too, you can make things bold. if you need to, or maybe have something to italicize. And then lastly, I'll say that, you know, if you're going to have things like, for instance, if you're going to use dollars, the word dollar, $5,000, if you're going to say that, then instead of using the dollar sign, I would just write out the word, $5,000, D-O-L-L-A-R-S, as opposed to using a dollar sign. Because sometimes I've seen people who are just very smart, they know numbers, but all of a sudden they'll say 5 million, or they'll say 50,000, or things like that, because, you know, they're kind of nervous, you know, or they'll say 500 instead of, you know, so things like that. So it's just good to have it all written out, because then you're only going to say the numbers that are right there in front of you.
That makes sense, because it just means people spending less energy and focus on interpreting what's on screen, and they can just focus purely on their delivery. Well, any last words of advice for people who are thinking about using a teleprompter, or maybe people who use it who just want to improve their performance?
I would say, to consider purchasing my book. And I'm not saying that to plug my book, but only because I've had people say that, this is so practical. It's just a Kindle book. It's only 38 pages in length, but it really does. It gives you some good tools, and it actually gives you, at the end of it, it has different screenshots. So that way you can actually see what the talent sees when they look into a prompter. You can actually see what it looks, and then also you can see like the inner workings, like what's behind the hood. So we actually give you some shots to be able to show you that. And that's something else that people have found very helpful. Like, oh, now I know what this is. Now I see how this actually works.
Cool. So you can check out the book on Kindle, and I'm going to put a link in the show notes. It's called Teleprompter Bible, 10 Techniques to Teleprompter Mastery for Corporate and Online Video Production. Hey, Aaron, thank you. It's been great talking to you. I've picked up some good tips there for the work that we do using a teleprompter.
All right. Thanks a lot, Ryan. I appreciate you having me.
Cool. Well, that's episode 28 of the Web Video Marketing Show. So if you want to check out Aaron's book, head over to webvideomarketing.com, episode 28, and you'll find the link there. Thanks a lot for listening. Bye.